Good morning. Today we have lecture number 3. The title you can see on the first slide. And as you can read, today we will talk about surfactants classification, structure and properties. On the beginning, I would like to give you definition of surfactants. What types of chemical compounds we called as surfactants. And what means the word surfactants? On slide number 2, you can read that surfactants, this word, this is the acronym from surface active agents. Surfactants, the important class of chemicals with characteristic dual nature. They are organic molecules which are classified as amphiphilic. Amphiphilic, it means that they have a kind of dual character. They love oil and water. We say they love water and oil, it in the meaning that they are soluble in polar and non-polar solvents. This is characteristic feature of surfactant. This property is possible because surfactant molecule consists of two parts, polar and nonpolar. And on the right side of a slide 2, you can see the scheme of surfactant molecule. You can see polar head, which is lyophilic, or we say solvophilic. And the second part of this molecule is nonpolar, because this is a hydrocarbon toil group. And this part of surfactant molecule, we say is lipophobic or solvophobic. This so-called polar heads of surfactant molecules can be charged. This charge can be positive or negative. These heads can be neutral. And depending on the type of surfactant, these polar heads can be small or comparable in size of polymeric chain. On the next slide, on slide number 3, you have classification in the middle of this slide. You have a classification of surfactants into 4 groups depending on a charge of a polar head. So we have anionic surfactants, cationic, nonionic, and amphoteric. And also you have examples of each of these type of surfactants. What is interesting? I would like to focus your attention on 2 molecules. AOT, which is sodium bis-2-ethylhexyl sulfosuccinate. This is surfactant, which is anionic, and example of amphoteric molecules, which is lecithin, phosphatidylholine. These 2 molecules have 2 hydrocarbon chains in 1 molecule, which is contrary to the CTAB, for example, which is shown here as an example of cationic surfactant. And this feature, presence of these 2 hydrocarbon chains in AOT molecules, is a reason why AOT is a very, very often used in the studies on microemulsions or aggregates which this surfactant forms in different, it means polar and non-polar solvents. So this is similarity of AOT to lecithin. Let's move to the next slide, and here we have explanation. What is the consequence of this dual nature surfactants? They have ability to adsorb at interfaces, an interface which can be formed between liquid and air. If we imagine that in beaker we have some amount of liquid, it can be polar solvent or non-polar solvent. And the second feature is that surfactants have ability to aggregate in self-assembled structures. They can form oriented monolayer, like we can see on the right side of the slide, or some of the structures which we have on this picture on the bottom of slide 4. This picture which we have here, we can explain in such a way that when we dissolve, when we introduce surfactant into the solvent, then on the beginning we have single surfactant molecules which are in the volume of this liquid. So we can say that we have unimers. But when we will add more and more surfactant into this solvent, it means we will increase concentration of surfactant in this solution. Then, as we can see, depending on the polarity of the solvent, let's say we have polar solvent, these unimers start to aggregate in spherical structure. They are so-called normal micelles. These polar heads are directed into the polar surrounding, and the non-polar toys are directed into the interior of such spherical structure. These spherical micelles can transform into cylindrical structure, then to bilayer lamella. If the polarity will be changed, the surrounding will change polarity, then this bilayer lamella can change into the reverse micelles and finally to inverted hexagonal phase. So as you see, depending on the polarity of the environment in which unimers are, they can aggregate in the structures which will be, as we say, normal. It means polar heads will be located outside, or reverse if polar heads are inside these structures, inside these aggregates. Well, how it happens that such structures, which we discussed forms. So the answer on this question we find on slide 5. On the 5th slide, we see the picture on which we have on the top the situation which shows us the introducing the surfactant molecules into some liquid, and below there is some graph explaining what happens when we increase concentration, surfactant concentration in the system. So on the beginning, we have this blue liquid in a beaker. So we have interface gas, blue liquid, and we add surfactant into this solvent. On the beginning, as we said, these surfactant molecules start to adsorb at the interface gas liquid. And some single surfactant, some unimers will appear in the volume of this liquid. When we add more and more surfactant, then you can see on the second picture that, or second figure, that surfactants formed the continuous interface between air and blue liquid. And we see that in this liquid we have more surfactant unimers in comparison to the first picture. When we add more surfactant molecules, then, as you see, we observe that surfactant starts to aggregate in a self-assembled structure. Because this blue liquid is a polar, we can deduce it. So that's why surfactant unimers formed the normal micelles. Of course, if this surfactant concentration will increase, then more and more such micelles appear, such structures appear in the system. We see here that acronym CMC, it means critical micelle concentration. This is the value of surfactant concentration in which surfactant molecules start to aggregate, start to form some structures like micelles, like biliers, like monoliers, or some spherical other structures like cylindrical, reverse cylindrical, and so on. So now we can move to the graph on the bottom. You have on the right side abbreviation. What this graph presents? On the y-axis, we have some physicochemical property marked as delta. It can be osmotic pressure, it can be refractive index, it can be conductivity, and some other. On axis X, we have surfactant concentration. And this red line shows dependence of this delta value as a function of surfactant concentration. So we see that in this case, this is a kind of hypothetical graph. When we dissolve surfactant into the solvent, so surfactant concentration increases from some initial value, then this delta value decreases with surfactant concentration increasing. So below CMC, and this CMC, this is the point which we obtain when we will project this cross section of these two parts of this red curve on x-axis. Well, what we can say? We can say on the base of this graph that below CMC, we have in system only unimers, only single surfactant molecules, but above the CMC value appear in the system micelles, which are in a thermodynamic equilibrium with unimers. But because of course there is the dynamic situation, some surfactants molecules move from the micelle to the solvent and some from the solvent move to this micellar structure. So we know now that for given system surfactant solvent, we can find in some way using some techniques. We will get informations in a minute what techniques we can use, what analytical methods we can use to obtain a numerical value of CMC. But at this moment, we should remember that for a given system, surfactant solvent, we can get characteristic concentration, which is called critical micelle concentration, which means that above this CMC, we have micelles in equilibrium with unimers, we have micelles, we have some other cylindrical structures, or inverted or reverse micelles. Everything depends what system we analyze, what type of surfactant we investigate or discuss. Let's move to the next slide. And here you have the examples, real experimental data taken, as you can read from Langmuir. This data were published in 2000 years. So on the upper graphs, you can see that these CMC values were studied using conductivity for the systems dodecyl-3-methyl-ammonium chloride, which is on the left side, and dimethyl-ammonium-bromide on the right side. So as you can see, we have these dots marked points, experimental points, and this line, straight lines, they are tangent to the arms of these experimental curves. And the intersection of this straight lines gives us the inflection point, which we can project on x-axis and obtain CMC values for a given surfactant. As you can read, this experimental data were studied for the cationic surfactant water system. So solvent was polar. And surfactants were cationic types. On the bottom, you have a comparison of these two systems, DTAC, DDAB in water. When we, scientists tried to detect CMC using surface tension technique. So you see that this red color, this red straight lines which are tangent to these experimental points, represents pure DTAB. Red color is connected with the pure DTAC, and in the middle you have a mixture of these two surfactants which were dissolved in water. So you see that when we mix two surfactants, then for this mixture of surfactants, CMC will be located between numerical values for the pure surfactants which were used in this mixture preparation. So as you see, you can analyze that depending on the method, in this case it was conductivity and surface tension, we obtain a little bit different numbers. What it means? It means that when we use different techniques in the CMC detection, we shouldn't expect that always we obtain the same numerical value. When we move to the slide 7, here you will see curves which were obtained for a different types of surfactants using different analytical methods. So as you can see, using density change, we can measure CMC. Surface tension, we already know it. Conductivity, osmotic pressure, interfacial tension. You know, and as you see, there is the range of concentration, in this case is between 0.2 until 20 something, in which range CMC values obtained for a given surfactant and solvent using different types of analytical techniques we should expect. So don't be very frustrated if you will, let's say, measure CMC for some surfactant water system, and when you will check in the scientific literature, you will find that in another laboratory, CMC obtained for this, for the same system, is a little bit different. If it was measured with a different method or on different type of apparatus, this is possible. Don't expect that you will obtain exactly the same value. If you obtain exactly the same value, it means that maybe something wrong was with our measurement, because it's almost absolutely impossible to obtain exactly the same values. Sometimes it's happened, but very rarely. Okay, let's move to the next slide. Here on this slide, you have information about packing parameter. So as we can read, it's this kind of a shape factor, and the definition, how we can obtain, how we can calculate this packing parameter, this is this relation on the right side of this relation. So as we can, recognize, on the previous lecture, we analyzed this relation, and it was defined as a critical packing parameter. And this is exactly the same parameter. So as you see, Pileni, which is an author of a very interesting book, Colloids and Interfaces, he defined this parameter CMC as a shape factor. And really, it is true, because depending on the numerical value of this CPP parameter, we can expect what structure we can expect in the system. So we know that it can be spherical. They can be spherical micelles, cylindrical micelles, inverse micelles. So this is what we already know. So as you see, really, this parameter is very useful, and we should remember about this, that this is not only the meaning of this parameter is not only that it gives us information how many surfactant molecules are able to form a given structure, but also we can say that this parameter gives us information about the probable shape of this structure. Let's move to the next slide number 9, and here let's focus our attention on the surfactant AOT. And let's assume that we will discuss water in oil microemulsion. It means that water is a dispersed, this can be dispersed phase in the some kind of oil phase. So this structure we already discussed, that in this surfactant molecule we have two hydrophobic toils, hydrocarbons, hydrophobic toils, and polar head. And on the right side you have the geometrical structure, which is the truncated cone, which can be inscribed on a single surfactant molecule. So this size numbers, this diameter of a polar head and length of these two non-polar toils involves us to calculate the volume of this surfactant molecule. For what we need this information? Let's move to the next slide number 10. And on this slide we have the following situation. We have in this circle, white circle, we have non-polar solvent. And let's imagine that we dissolve in this non-polar solvent AOT molecules. Also, we add water to this system. What situation we will observe? We will observe that because we have non-polar solvent, then AOT molecules start to aggregate into reverse micelles. I'm sorry. And when we introduce water into such system, water molecules start to jumped into the interior of these reverse micelles, into the core of these reverse micelles. This parameter R, which we have on the left bottom defined, this is the, as we can read, this is the ratio of water to surfactant concentration. And in such situation that we have surfactant, solvent, in this case non-polar solvent, and water, so we know that we will have reverse micelles in this case, and when we know R parameter, then we know the water concentration in this system, because surfactant concentration always we know. So situation which we have on this picture, on this figure, informs us that reverse micelles formed with AOT molecules are able to cover inside in their core such polar molecules like water. This is very important. Why? Because it means that we can try to introduce instead of these water molecules some other polar molecules. This can be useful when we want to transport some medicines. So we can capsule, we can cover in the interior of such reverse micelles molecules which are polar. It was a very important discovery. Let's move to the next slide. On slide 11, on the upper part, what type of information we have? We have here situation in which AOT reverse micelles covered, closed in the interior water molecules. But it's not the end, this story. If we will increase W or R parameter, which defines the ratio water to AOT concentrations, it means we will introduce to the system more and more water. So as long as water molecules will jump into the interior of AOT micelles, this micelle size will increase. This is situation similar to the situation when we introduce some gas into the balloon. The volume increases and increases. So water amount in such systems informs us about the size of such micelles. We can measure micelles size using, for example, such techniques like dynamic light scattering, using zeta sizer, for example. So this is possible. We can do this very easy. Let's move to the middle part of this picture. Here we have the situation in which we can interpret as a situation that we have two different types of AOT reverse micelles. Different types, it means that they contain in a corner different types of molecules, green and red. So from this picture, we understand that when we close two different reagents in the AOT reverse micelles, then it's possible chemical reaction between these green and red molecules when we will have collisions, many collisions between my cells, and because of this reaction, as a result, we obtain some chemical compound and empty reverse micelle. So it means that reverse micelles can be used as a mini or nano reactors, which are employed in a organic synthesis. Except chemical reactions, we also can expect that we can extract some molecules from other sites. This is also examples of a practical applications of the especially reverse micelles. What types of chemical reactions can be released using such micellar nano or micro reactors? It can be coprecipitation, reduction, hydrolysis, condensation, and many others. These nano reactors are very popular in a organic chemistry actually. On the next slide, we have the answer on the question, what are the possibility of reverse micelles employing, except these chemical reactions, except applications as a reactors, micro or nano reactors. The reverse micelle technique permits the synthesis of many inorganic materials. We can use reverse micelles in size and shape control when we want to obtain some homogeneous products, when we want to obtain low polydispersity in a, for example, polymerization reactions. There is some disadvantage of the application of reverse micelles. Because of the small quantities, there are some difficulties to scale up. So, you know, of course, the reverse micelles have many, many advantages, but also some disadvantages. In present time, the reverse micelles applications you can find on slide 13. Here we have the modern examples of reverse micelle employing. This is the synthesis and characterization on non-spherical nanoparticles, which can be made in reverse micelles. We can produce some semiconductors. We can oxidize some using this catalyst nano rods and nano wires in hydrolysis condensation. We can also use in a reduction of silver nanoparticles and nanodiscs. So actually very, very attractive is application of reverse micelles as a nanoreactors for enzymatic reactions. And what is interesting, reverse micelles are using to mimic a domain structure of biomembranes successfully. In 1965, Ziegel found in a natural membrane reverse micelles structures. Of course, they were formed with a natural amphiphilic molecules like lecithin. But this discovering opened doors for the very wide application of reverse micelles in mimicking some kind of geometrical similarity between of the structures which were discovered in biomembranes. And you can find in the literature many different studies on connected with this area, connected with these applications. Today is everything. So thank you for your attention, and let's meet next week when we will have lecture number 4. So thank you once more for your attention, and see you again in the next week. Thank you once more.